The thought that I want to share this morning, it's like, who do you seek? Simple question. Who do you seek? Rick Warren made this statement. He said, the most common mistake Christians make in worship today is seeking an experience rather than seeking God. Seeking an experience rather than seeking God. An experience and emotion and getting involved with music and all that is awesome. It can put our hearts in the right spot. But that's not why we come here. And I've got a little story. Too often, I think Christians, and I'm, again, nobody here, I guarantee you, nobody here, but other Christians, you know, the other people? Okay. Too often, Christians can fall into a trap. And what happens is their expectations of a service dwell on the experience that they have emotionally of a service. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. But what happens is I've heard so many times, man, you should have been there. The Spirit of God was moving. You should have just felt it. The worship was fantastic. And they're almost bragging about the service, which is awesome. And then I burst the bubble and say, so what did God share with you that you left with that you didn't have coming in? And what happens is, without them even knowing it, they were coming to church for that experience, the emotion, the music. And we've talked about it before. Churches are graded on three things. It's how people usually choose churches. And this was done by Pew Research. Or it could have been Barna too. Number one, if you're going to go to church, most important thing, how's the music? Number two, how's the seating? And number three, how's the parking? That's what they found. And it's okay. All those three things are part of a church. But what's really part of a church that makes a church, is two things. You and Jesus Christ, who's the head. Amen? And for us to add anything in between that, it's wrong. Because sometimes what happens is people will come, not that many, but I've had people come to me and say, well, I'm not happy with the church that I'm going to. I'm not happy with that. So tell me about it. It doesn't have anything to do with the teaching or preaching. I've had some that said, I don't like their style of music. And after I'm done throwing up, I look back up at them and I say, well, that's dumb. Style of music? Is that what you go there for? But I think, there's more than that. Because when I look, is it so easy to become a Christian and go to church and come to church on Sunday and miss the main event? The Pharisees were standing in front of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And in Mark chapter 12, he looks at the Pharisees and he says, the kingdom is not far from you. And you can look at it knowledge-wise, or you can look at it, Jesus was probably 5 feet away from them, and they were missing it. Or else you go into the Laodicean church in Revelations chapter 3. The Laodicean church was an active church doing all kinds of stuff. They were wealthy, were getting all kinds of stuff going. But what happened? Jesus says, here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So my message today is just one of those things, a reminder to all of us. I love the songs. The worship this morning was fantastic. It helps my heart. It helps me get focused. But when I come through the door and I'm going to meet with my brothers and sisters. I want to make sure that I do not leave here without me doing all I can to meet with my Savior, Jesus Christ, to open my heart, my ears, my eyes, and my mind to what he's got, to ask on my heart, Lord, I've got this issue, or help me, or guide me. But it's all about him. And the story that I'm going to share today, it's about a man called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, and it's in Luke chapter 19, and Zacchaeus was this short little guy. You know, before service, Paul asked me, how tall do you think Zacchaeus was? I don't know, but I know Saul was about 6 foot, and he was a king of Israel, and he stood heads above everybody else. That puts everybody else at about, what, 5'7"? 5'6"? And if Zacchaeus in a crowd couldn't see over the crowd, Zacchaeus was somewhere probably around a 5 footer or shorter. There you go. Probably Terry's height. But here's a guy, and Zacchaeus had all kinds of things going for him, just not in the Jewish circle. Right? He was wealthy. You know how he was wealthy? He was a tax collector. And we all know tax collectors to Jewish people was, you were kind of like, we think we're unfriendly to the IRS people. They were really unfriendly to tax collectors. But so that's the story I want to share this morning. Who do you seek? And I'm going to use Zacchaeus as the story that I want to share. I'm going to start with verse 1 in Luke 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So here's Zacchaeus. And you know what he wanted to do? He heard that Jesus was passing through, and he sees this crowd of people around him, and he wanted to see, and he wanted not just to see, but he wanted to see there and meet this Jesus. So he comes up, and he gets in the crowd, and he's probably just looking at a lot of backs and shoulders, and you think of the crowd was probably, again, they were walking, it's moving and jogging and doing all kinds of stuff. Could you imagine people talking and hollering? Jesus over here, what about over there? Hey, tell Uncle Louie he's over here. Could you imagine what the crowd was doing? And now we have Zacchaeus, who is really a not welcome soul in this group. Doesn't say that, but he was a chief tax collector. And he's going to stand out in a crowd because he was rich. And he comes up and he says he sought to see Jesus. Nobody intentionally tried to stop him, right? It didn't say anybody tried to stop him from seeing Jesus. But because of all the craziness, he couldn't see. Sometimes in church services that can happen. Because of all the craziness. Because you can come to church on a Sunday. I mean, you can meet Christ anywhere. You can meet him individually. You can meet him when you're having coffee with friends. It can happen anywhere, but I'm just going to isolate a church service, whether it be a Saturday night or sometime on Sunday. But what happens is you can come into church, and you got fellowship, and you got stories, and you got the ups, and you got the downs, and our hearts can get caught up with all kinds of information. And we come to church, and we're all still bothered by maybe the political problems or the economic problems. And our hearts are going in a million directions. And there might be a situation, then we get into music. And maybe the music's got a different style. Or maybe I didn't know the words. Maybe I didn't know the song. And part of you goes, how do I worship when I don't know the song? How do I, you know? Not that, again, any of you have ever done this. But I've heard that this happens in some churches. And so you get all caught up, and what happens is you have all these things going on. You got fellowship, communication, situations, politics, music, knowing the words, not knowing the words. And you're all waiting for that experience, that one song, right? Michael Ginn, his one song is Days of Elijah, right? It would be okay if we sang that three times in a row, I think. But we're all waiting for that one song that really grabs us maybe, and it doesn't happen on a Sunday. And what happens to be with all this craziness, we stop looking for Jesus. We just get through the service. And we go home. And we think, well, that was a flat service. Three of those, I'm out of here. But why'd you come? Who'd you come looking for? Didn't we come here for Jesus? The people that were following Jesus on the road from Jericho, they didn't just gather around Jesus to worship him and make a big hullabaloo, did they? They came, and each and every one of them in that group wanted to be a part of Jesus. They wanted to get his attention. They wanted to talk to him. They wanted him to look at him. They were no different than Zacchaeus. They wanted to see him. They didn't want to just worship and praise him. They wanted to see him. And that's who'd you come here to see? And we just can't give up. Right? Sometimes we'll have a service with unplanned, that'll get a little disruptive. We have an unplanned event. I love Kenny, but when I see him stretch out his wheelchair, and he's got a very nice snore, you know. Again, a little side note, I was at the hospital, and I was talking with him, and as I'm talking with him, his eyes shut, and he started to snore, and the nurse tried to wake him up. And I said, don't sweat that. I do this every Sunday. But I mean, sometimes we're a family and we know Kenny, right? Well, when you have a visitor and you see somebody snoring up front, it can get a little disruptive. But it's only an issue if you're looking for an experience, meaning whether Kenny snores or not. An individual, I'm looking, I want to meet Jesus Christ no matter what, here, within this group. That shouldn't stop anything. Who did I come to see? And hopefully it was Jesus. As you move into verse 4. So he ran ahead, Zacchaeus, he ran ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. Okay? Praise God. It's summertime, crickets are out there. Okay? So Zacchaeus did not get frustrated because he's short. He didn't get mad at God and say, God, if I were tall, I could see, but you made me short. What are you doing to me? He didn't do that. Zacchaeus had one thing in mind. No matter what was going on, he wanted to see Jesus. He wasn't going to let anything stop him. So what he does is he breaks away from the crowd and he runs up a little farther on the road. Gives himself a little bit of distance, enough time to climb a tree. Gets up in the tree because he knows that if he gets high enough and he's near the road, he's going to see Jesus walking by. And sure enough, Jesus comes walking by, looks up in the tree. Zacchaeus, come on down. He knew him by name, right? Jesus knew him by name. Calls him down. And not only knows him by name, but says, I must stay with you. There was a want to be with Zacchaeus. With us. Do we stop at nothing to see Jesus? Whether it be on a Sunday morning or in a time of prayer, or when you're reading the Bible, or you're praying with some friends at home? Do we stop at nothing because we want to meet him? He needs to be in the center of our conversation. Some of the best advice I've ever heard came from Frank Chambers, a dear friend of mine. He goes, you know what to do if you don't know the song? What? He goes, pray. Well, yeah, you can pray that you'll know the next one, but what a wonderful time to pray and to open your heart to Christ. You know, and he goes, you know what to do when the preacher's up there and he's preaching a bomb? Not a bomb in a good way. A bomb that just flat. You know what to do? Pray for the preacher. Pray for the preacher. And pray. Open your heart. You know what to do when you come into church? Another friend of mine, you know what to do when you come into church? Have you ever noticed that sometimes some friends, some brothers and sisters in Christ can be the bluebirds of happiness on Sunday morning? How's it going? Oh, it's not going very good. Okay, well, what can we do? But it's not a not doing very good, can you help pray for me? It's a not doing very good, let me tell you how I'm so disappointed with everything. Like I say, I don't see that in this group. But I did see it at another church. I'd walk in, how's everything going? I don't know if I like what's going on here. Really? Yeah. And they start dumping their bucket on me. Right? It was in Duluth on Haynes Road. I'm like, really? You know, that's not why we come to church. Why did they come? Did they come just to make sure that their feelings were and opinions were going to be known? Or did they come to see the King? Why did you come? Why do I come? It's to see the King. Zacchaeus was determined to get through it. I need to be determined and not let my emotions. If the songs aren't as upbeat as I want, so what? I didn't come for the songs. I came for Jesus Christ. And these songs that are being sung are to praise Him. And you can get into it. It is amazing, a music that you don't really know and you spend a little time, it helps the heart. Don't give up. You pray. Because Jesus was walking along. Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. He knew him by name, as he knows each and every one of you by name. So when we come on Sunday or wherever you are, Jesus is there. And just like he's saying to the Laodicean church, you're busy. You've got all kinds of stuff going on. You're doing all this in the community. It's fantastic. I'm knocking on the front door because I really want to come in and spend time with you. When you come to church, have your, you know, the expectation has to be Christ. And I am not trying to preach against music at all. I love music. I love our music. I love our groups. I love the songs. I love the specials. I love it all because it helps my heart calm down and focus. And when I leave here, whether I knew all the songs or I didn't, what happens is when I leave here and I have met with Christ, and to meet with Christ isn't that the pastor has to anoint your head and you'll meet with Christ. Meet with Christ is when your heart is open and you open and you're praying and you say, Lord, what have you got for me? And even in the midst of the conundrum going on called a church service, in that quietness, the Lord's heart and your heart can commune. And you can leave here with a peace. You can leave. Sometimes you come into church and I've talked about this before, face control. You're going to put on a stiff upper lip. You're going to get face control. Somebody says, how was your day? Oh, fantastic. Any better I'd be in heaven. You know, and you can say that in a fun way. Boy, I'm having a great life. The only thing that's going to get better if I go to heaven. And you can say it the other way. If it got any more miserable, then my only hope is getting to heaven. But it doesn't matter. You just take that quiet moment and open your heart. Seek Him diligently. Hebrews. Paul writes, I believe, they don't really know who wrote Hebrews. I'll say it was Paul. Good guess. But in verse 11, chapter 6, or chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do not miss a time with our brothers and sisters when we gather together to take advantage, full advantage of the fellowship, full advantage of the worship, but full advantage of communing with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do not give up. Don't give up in prayer. Don't give up at any point in time until you and the Lord have that moment. And you know, sometimes at the end of the service, when I'll close the service, that doesn't mean, okay, bye-bye. If all of a sudden that's the time, that quiet time, there's nothing wrong with standing or sitting in your pew or going somewhere and having a quiet time with the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we're here for. We're here to edify one another. The Lord works with us as a body. We're members jointly fit together, but we're still individuals. And we gather together as his body to do his will and to create an environment. That's why we have music. Yes, we want to praise him, and the rocks can't cry out that song. The earth doesn't do anything yet, but we can cry out and say, this is who you are. But when we cry out, we got to say, because this is who we want to meet here. Verse 7. But when they saw it, that's the rest of the group, when they saw what was happening, that Jesus stopped, looked up to Zacchaeus, said, come on down. I want to have dinner with you. It says, but when they saw it, then they all started complaining. Especially when he said, when they see Jesus go to Zacchaeus' house, he says, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Jesus knows your heart. Zacchaeus knew, as a tax collector, the good and the bad that he's done. You and I have known the good and the bad that we've done. The past, maybe the present. We know our hearts. We know that even though sometimes the people around us think, wow, they really got their act together. But you know your heart. You know, you don't. I'm so glad my brothers and sisters can't see my heart. I'm so glad sometimes my wife can't see my heart. But I know my heart. And I know the things that I'm trying to exchange in thoughts and saying who you are. I know the downside of my life. I know that I'm not perfect, and you know that you're not perfect. But that doesn't mean that Jesus does not want to meet you here, does it? Zacchaeus was a tax collector, taking money from the Jews who he was and giving it to the Romans. And not just a tax collector, but a tax collector that did exceedingly well because he became rich from it. So on a scale of 1 to 10 and where he ranked in the Jewish faith in that group, he was probably pretty low. But there's Jesus that knew his name and said, come on down. I want to dine with you. Don't ever think that you're not worthy, because he, Jesus, is here right now for you and for me. Sometimes it can be easy on the other side, if you've gone to church for a while, to judge who Jesus should spend time with. Because sometimes we'll see someone that we don't necessarily think is where they should be. Their heart isn't right. Their life hasn't been right. What you know of them might be not good. And now all of a sudden you see them trying to have a relationship in Christ, and what goes through our hearts sometimes? How dare they? Who do they think they are? So they've lived a life like this all their life, and now they're going to try to fix it? But that's our flesh. And that's what the people did. It's like, look at this. Who does he think he is? But thank goodness we have Jesus Christ who says, you know what? I don't care what other people think. I don't care if people look down their nose at you. I don't care what went on in your past. I don't care. Because I love you and I know your heart. And he died for you and he died for me. Amen? Because when Jesus gets a hold of a life, things change. Amen? When he gets a hold of, when he got a hold of my life, there, little by little, things changed. He gave me a choice. John, here's your will. I mean, you're getting to experience a little of my will. Now that you know a little bit of my will, what are you going to do? Little by little, my will began to shrink. And doing his will began to grow. I love him for his graciousness. Because it was like, when I claim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm part of his body. On day one, I was part of his body. I didn't have to work my way into it. But by his graciousness, little by little, I grew. And as I grew, he was able to use me in different ways. That's how he works with the body. But he makes a difference in people's lives. The relationship that Zacchaeus had with Jesus changed Zacchaeus. Verse 8. And I'm closing on this verse if you wanted to go up. So with verse 8, it says, then Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And I have taken, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now I say this because his life before included these things in it. He says, but as if I find out that I've stolen from people and lied to get the money, he said, I restore it fourfold out of his own pocket. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So my whole thought today is whenever we gather in church and come to church, let us never forget what brings us here. It is to commune with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in communing with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we see the Creator. It says, no one knows the Father except through the Son. And no one knows the Son except through the Father. But that's what binds us together, and that's love. Take full advantage of the music and the fellowship and everything else that God has provided us. But don't ever let the distractions and the craziness hold you back. And you find yourself being held back, find yourself being frustrated, find yourself being disenchanted with something along the way, stop, pray, seek him. Take that quiet spot. But do not leave without having a touch from him. And again, it doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but sometimes knowing that God cares for you and he speaks a little something in your heart, it increases your hope that you leave here with more hope than when you started. Or it might increase your joy that you leave with a little bit more joy than you came in with because you know the Lord, you know you're saved. It may increase your peace knowing that it's really all about him and his kingdom. It's not about CNN, CNBC, Fox News. It's not about this. That's going on. It's about him. It increases your peace. It increases your love. When you look at him and you know who you are and you know inside you're not perfect, yet he still loves you. He still loves me. And then you look around at other brothers and sisters. And all of a sudden, there's a little bit more love for our brothers and sisters. And in that, there's a little bit more forgiveness. There's a little bit more grace. Don't miss Jesus Christ. Amen.